Coming up on today's show.
I do remember the day that I brought the Lombardi Trophy to all the Sunday Masses, and everybody that attended Mass that day got their picture with it.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, so you can engage with me and the show that way. Look for those logos, those links there for whichever platform or platforms plural you enjoy using. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group, which is free to join and which you can also find a link for on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Remember, too, that any and all of those give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I'll be honest, it's tough right now seeing young Tampa Bay Rays phenom Wander Franco going through the situation that has put him on administrative leave by Major League Baseball. Never mind how our society seems to have at some point reversed the mindset of innocent until proven guilty. The fact is that we want our sports heroes to keep their nose clean and be good, upstanding members of society. When any allegations come up that paint these athletes in a troublesome scenario, it concerns us as fans and wanting there to only be good thoughts, highlight plays that come to mind when picturing the version of them that we've come to know on the field, on the court, on the ice, etc. As lay people, we are no different, however, meaning susceptible to putting ourselves in potentially compromising situations. It's like national radio talk show host Jim Rome always says when a story comes out about an athlete who got in trouble in the wee hours of the morning, nothing good happens after midnight. In the New Testament, there is a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that's almost worth having framed on the wall or kept on our person as a reminder to help athletes and ourselves to stay on the right path, especially in these types of situations that I've been describing. In verse 33, it says, quote, "Do not be led astray. Bad company corrupts good morals." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has more than 30 years of coaching experience and currently serves as a senior offensive analyst for LSU football. His coaching career includes winning a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints in 2009 and capturing the 1997 national championship with Michigan, having been a part of five Big Ten championships with the Wolverines. Prior to coming on board with LSU, he spent 3 years at Bowling Green, where he served as offensive coordinator along with coaching the running backs and offensive line. That was his second stint with their program, having previously been there from 1986 to 1995 when he served in a variety of roles and helped them to back-to-back MAC championships and bowl game victories in 1991 and 1992. He also coached at Western Michigan, Purdue, Holy Cross, and Boston College after having begun his coaching career as a graduate assistant at Arizona. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Terry Malone.
Thank you, Bruce. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Terry. I'm looking forward to this. First and foremost, wow, what a truly impressive resume that is. Congratulations. It has not come with its challenges, though, I know, not the least of which is all the moving around that we can tell that you obviously did. Before we get into all that, though, tell us first, where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size?
My mom and dad grew up in Albany, New York, and they had their first three children in Albany, and then they started moving west, stopped in Buffalo for 1 year, and I was born in Buffalo. And then shortly after I was born, my dad took a job in Detroit, and that's where I was really raised in Detroit. They had two more kids, so there's six kids and mom and dad.
And the six, what's the breakdown of boys and girls? And I think you said you're number...
I'm number four. Mom and dad had four boys and two girls.
Was this a traditional Catholic household you grew up in? And for that matter, in what way did you receive Catholic education?
Bruce, this was a very traditional Catholic family. We were the family that lived right next door to the church at in Redford, Michigan.
Wow.
We were called on for altar server duty any time, day or night. Every funeral, every wedding had him alone on the altar, and it was a great way to grow up. We had a great neighborhood, and that was our Catholic grade school that we went to. It was right next door, so you walked out the back gate and you were at school, and got to be it was a terrific way to grow up. We got to know all the priests and nuns that lived there, and they became a very special part of our lives.
It's nice to have such a short walk to school, but it reminds me of my days in college. It was such a small college that one of the professors literally at orientation said, if you're going to skip class, don't hang out in the cafeteria because your teacher might come walking through. And in your case, if you're going to skip school, you live right next door, so you better stay in the house
there,
or go
no
miles
doubt.
And miles away.
There was no doubt. They literally could have just opened the window and yelled at my mom to say, where was he at that point? So, no, we didn't do any skipping of school.
Send Terry over. We're holding up the start of class for
yeah.
him.
That's right.
I actually failed to mention in the intro that you played 4 years of college football, which almost makes me think that might have been your first and only sport. At what age did you start competing in sports? Were there any other sports besides football that you played? And who was it that got you interested in participating in sports?
Well, my family was a big sports family. Everybody in the family was an athlete. I played all three sports through grade school, through high school, you know, the traditional baseball, basketball, and football.
Wow.
And then was very fortunate to be able to get a scholarship to go play football at Holy Cross College moved out to Worcester, Massachusetts, and it was a terrific experience.
Are you being humble? Were there other opportunities and you chose Holy Cross for a particular reason, or was it, no, I just had my mind set on Holy Cross for some particular reason?
That's interesting. I did have other opportunities, but I had a favorite uncle of mine. My Uncle Tony played football at Holy Cross back in the late 50s, and so I knew all about it. And they pretty much recruited all the Catholic leagues in the big cities in the Midwest, Detroit, Cincinnati, Chicago, and would pull three or four players every year from the Catholic leagues. And it was a great school to go to. It was a great education. And really, when you look at my background, I went to Catholic school, grade school through college. I went to a... all boys Catholic school, Detroit Catholic Central, from my high school, and so I had been completely Catholic education until I went to grad school.
Yeah, and so you played tight end for 4 years at Holy Cross, which, as you're mentioning, is a Catholic college. I'm tempted to equate that with, oh, then his faith life must have been just fine while he was in college. Was that the case? And if so, was there anything in particular that helped you stay strong in your Catholic faith? Or was this maybe a case of, I got caught up in being a football player and going to frat parties and being more interested in having fun than studying or being a good Catholic?
Bruce, that's a great observation, because, you know, you should never assume just because you're at a Catholic college that you are practicing your faith. And yet, I really appreciated everything at Holy Cross because of the influences that were there. The Jesuits did a great job of keeping the Catholic faith in front of us, and it certainly was our decision, but it was a terrific environment. And really, I was coming from, my high school is a fabulous Catholic high school that's still very strong in the Detroit area, and the Bazillion Fathers run Catholic Central, and they did a terrific job of making, you know, being a Catholic and living the faith something that was, you know, first and foremost with our education.
Yeah, in fact, audience, if you heard 8 weeks ago on episode 231, my guest was Joe Mack, and he is the assistant head coach of the football team at Detroit Catholic Central High School, which you're hearing Terry refer to. And Terry, I think you have a connection to that family, yes?
I certainly do. When I was going to be a junior in high school, Joe's dad, Tom Mack, took over as the head coach at Catholic Central, became my head coach for my last 2 years of high school. And I honestly can point to about three or four guys that I've had in my life that had a major impact on my life. And Coach Mack was one of them. He came in and he was a terrific leader, a terrific football coach. But more important, he was such a role model and a mentor for so many of us that just very blessed to be able to have that happen in my life.
Very nice. Very nice. Were you prayerful about your career choice? Did you see stepping off the playing field and into the coaching ranks as a blessing, or is that more of one of those, in hindsight, I did, sure, in my later years, but no, unfortunately, I just saw it as a natural progression in the sport I love at the time?
Bruce, I was not sure exactly what I was going to do by the time I was getting done with my college years.
Wow.
And I knew, well, I tell you what, I did know that I wanted to be a coach. There was no question about that, but I wasn't sure I wanted to be a college coach, a high school coach, whether to coach basketball or football, or, you know, there was, you know, a lot of things up in the air, but I can't say it enough that I've lived a very blessed life. I mean, I have really had a lot of great opportunities that that came my way for no other reason but the fact that I was surrounded by good people. And people have always taken care of me. It's been something that has just been a part of who I am.
Well, and it's no coincidence that, as you pointed out, your entire education was in a Catholic environment, and you were surrounded by mentors that obviously had faith at the root of what they did as well. So certainly there was divine intervention in helping you make that decision of where you were going to go with coaching. I'm sure you would agree.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. And first and foremost, my family was so supportive and so much behind everything that I wanted to do. And really, I was blessed with a family that gave me everything that I ever needed. I never was in the need of anything, you know, my parents always made sure that that was the case. And, you know, they had a great vision on what they wanted out of their kids and how they wanted to put them in a situation where, you know, anything that we needed, we got. And not that we got everything we wanted, but our needs were taken care of. And in terms of our faith, there was no question about where we were coming from and how we were raised. We were raised as Catholics.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't get everything you wanted. You got everything you needed.
Exactly.
There are congratulations due to Terry, even though it's for an award that he received more than a few years ago, but I know it's something he's particularly proud of. And oh, by the way, it's got nothing to do with sports, but there's also a thank you that's due. So before I reveal the honor that Terry received, let me first thank Bruce Cartwright, a listener who was kind enough to make a financial gift to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. It occurred to me that I never reported on the air a change that was made behind the scenes a ways back. You used to hear me talk about Merchantside Marketing Group, the company that did such a tremendous job building the website. They no longer handle the maintenance on CatholicSportsRadio.net, so instead I'm having to pay an individual $85 a month for all the back-end admin-type work. Don't get me wrong, it gives me peace of mind having someone who does that for a living handling that for me. But I've said time and again on this show that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that all the costs, like that one, for example, have to come out of my own pocket, which does get quite challenging. So when someone like Bruce Cartwright or other listeners or guests before him make a financial gift to my ministry, that is an example of what it goes towards. and so it sure is appreciated. Like Bruce Cartwright, if you too are finding value in what I do, if you are benefiting from listening to this show, if it's helping your faith life, and you like Catholic Sports Radio, I ask that you prayerfully consider my ministry as part of your tithing. This latest contributor did so through the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is fast, it's easy, it's secure, and you type the exact amount into that online platform, meaning whatever amount you're comfortable giving, it's entirely up to you. There's not a drop-down list of predetermined amounts for you to choose from. For those that are hesitant to put credit card information on the internet, simply contact me instead, and I will give you the details for sending me a check through the mail, which others have done in the past. You can either message me through social media or send an email to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will personally write you back with the relevant information. As a thank you to anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount or the method, online or check, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode with your permission, as you're hearing me do this week with Bruce Cartwright. Or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous, in which case I will give a generic on-air thank you without naming names. Your support of my work really means a lot to me. I'm grateful for you listening and for considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. Terry, since the NFL season is about to kick off, tell us about your time with the Saints, winning the Super Bowl, coaching guys like Jimmy Graham, and of course, any witness to the faith that maybe you saw during your years with the team.
You know, we had been in college my whole career, and the family was very happy in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan, and we were doing well. And then a friend of mine got the New Orleans Saints job and offered me to come down and offered me a job to be the tight end coach. And I one of the things I was very surprised about when we got to New Orleans is how Catholic of a city New Orleans is. Mm. And we were blessed that the Saints are owned by a very Catholic family. And so the Catholic faith was a big part of what the Saints were all about, and became very good friends with a lot of the clergy in New Orleans. And so that was, you know, a part of the journey that I really didn't expect, to tell you the truth. When, you know, you hear a lot about going south and not having the Catholic facilities that you have in the north, and New Orleans is not like that. It's a very strong Catholic community.
The award that I mentioned that you received is the Order of St. Louis the Ninth Medallion from the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Can you share with the audience what that is and why it meant so much to you?
We were very blessed when we got down to New Orleans. It was only about 6 months after Katrina, and so the recovery was just still happening. I mean, if you looked around and saw the devastation that was going on down there, you'd think that the storm had just occurred, and it had been 6 months, and it was still really rampaged by that storm. But where we lived, there was a flood of people that left New Orleans and lived on moved to the North Shore, where we found a home, and we were very blessed that they started a new parish. And Most Holy Trinity was formed because of the number of people that moved to our area because of the storm. Mm. So we were at the very foundation of a brand new parish, and we were brand new. So it worked out very well. And so in our 9 years that we lived there, we were able to go from basically a storefront church that we worked out of to build in our own beautiful Catholic church in Covington, Louisiana. And so that was a terrific experience. And our kids were right at the right age, too. They were finishing grade school and going through high school. And so they were able to join in and be a great part of that parish.
Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. And I believe from past guests that I've had on the show from Louisiana, I've even learned, and help me with this, Terry, they don't have county names. Is that correct? They say parish instead?
Yes, that is true. I still use parish as a as our church. But you're exactly right. Instead of it being a county, they call them parishes. So.
And so where you are now with LSU, there's still a very heavy Catholic presence there too?
There really is. We belong to a beautiful church here. And honestly, what helped bring us down here was family again. Our kids went through high school in New Orleans, and two of our oldest two attended LSU and graduated from LSU and are lifetime Tiger fans. And it just so happened that three of our four children moved back and settled in Baton Rouge. And so we were in Ohio, and then lo and behold, we had our first grandchild born here in Baton Rouge. And at that time, my wife, Ann, decided, I need to be with a grandchild. So she took several trips down here. And so at the end of one of our seasons a couple of years ago, we sat down and decided that, we needed to get around our kids again. And so I was very fortunate that Coach Kelly was hired here at LSU, and I had known him for a long time, and he offered me a job. And so now we're down here. We're surrounded by our three of our four kids, and our three grandkids are right here in town. So
fantastic!
Again, like I said, a very blessed, very blessed life.
Yeah, we're getting a very clear insight as to why you're able to say that so many times. I'd love to have a teaching moment here from someone who is a lifelong Catholic and has seen so much over a long career in football. You've won a Super Bowl, a national championship, several conference championships, coached in countless bowl games. What advice can you give for staying grounded and not getting caught up in all the temptations around all of that, not to mention staying committed to your faith when games and travel might otherwise try to tell you to just forget church for now?
Well, I think that certainly I thought a message early in this program, they said, hey, be careful who you're hanging around with. You know, be careful who you hang with, and choose your friends wisely. I think that has made my life choices a lot easier, because I have been particular and who I am friends with. I'm friends with everybody that I have in my life, but you know, my family is such a big influence on how my life is lived, and so I would say that would be one of the suggestions I'd give, because you find that you're influenced, whether you realize it or not, by the people that are around you, and so be careful who your friends are.
In the lead up to today, you shared with me that you've always served as a Eucharistic minister, and that you headed up the altar servers for 6 years at Most Holy Trinity Parish. Two questions. How have you found time to serve the church in those roles, given that football does play on weekends? And secondly, what made you want to get involved and say yes to those initiatives rather than just attend Mass and sit in the pew alongside your fellow parishioners?
That is, it was a real blessing to be involved with the altar servers at Most Holy Trinity. Basically, we had a terrific pastor who stayed after me and kept saying, hey, you'd be a great, person to head up the altar servers. And there was really a lack of kids. You know, most of our parish were older folks, and their kids had grown, and these people that had moved over to Covington. And so the Malone kids were in they were wanted. So we got it organized, and I had a terrific time with it. And, you know, funny that you mentioned the time of day. You know, the NFL was a lot more family-friendly in terms of having time to do extra things, especially in the off-season. College football is very, very time-demanding. And so that was an opportunity when I got a chance to go to the NFL, and we were there for 9 years, and come to find out that the off season was terrific in terms of family time.
Well, and you know, there's also an element here of where and I don't want to use the word celebrity, but just allow me, if you will, Terry and audience, that all of a sudden it can work to the good of someone who's in a position like a Terry Malone, because if the kids, it's kind of like I say about this show, sports shouldn't be the thing that gets you to go to church, but if someone hears this show and says, I guess I should start going back to church, or I already go, but I just check the boxes, I should start paying attention more. Well, if somebody says, ooh, wow, Mr. Malone or Coach Malone is the one who is heading up the altar server program, well, that shouldn't be the reason that you decide to become an altar server so that you can hang around a football coach. But if that's what it takes, and Terry, maybe you might have seen that a little bit, perhaps?
Well, perhaps. I certainly did not. I've never considered myself a celebrity, but I do remember the day that I brought the Lombardi Trophy to all the Sunday Masses, and everybody that attended Mass that day, it was unannounced, but I showed up and had the Lombardi Trophy, and everybody that attended those Masses, I got their picture with it.
Wow.
And my message to anyone was, hey, you never know what you're going to run into when you go to Mass on Sunday. So that was a lot of fun. And there's so many good people that volunteer their time. And you know, I've been involved with the Knights of Columbus for a long time. And I really admire those guys because, you know, it's an organization that people, no matter what they do, you know, they volunteer their time and they're willing to do the dirty work that helps you know, the Catholic Church move in the right direction.
Yeah, and I love that you pointed out that your statement was you never know what you might see at church, because there's the old joke about they're giving out free bread and wine, but here it is that the next week people are going to hear, you weren't here last Sunday? Oh, the Lombardi Trophy was here. Oh, well, maybe I should come more often. Exactly. We're going to close,
exactly.
But it's not going to be fast because, wow, Terry, I always like to end the show by having the guest talk about the time they've spent in the sacrament of holy matrimony and the family that they and their spouse have made. But you've got some cool stories here. One is who officiated your wedding. Another is the children that you and your wife have. You've alluded to them a bit. And another is your grandchildren and something that y'all just celebrated. So I'll let you take over from here as we get ready to wind things down.
Well, I when I thought back about my Catholic journey, the one thing that stood out to a lot of my family members is that when Ann and I got married, we had three priests that officiated the service, and all of my college friends and but they were three priests that, you know, they wanted to be there. One was from my high school, one was from my grade school, and one was our parish priest in Bowling Green. And it didn't even dawn on me that was kind of odd. And yet my friends are still, they still mention it. Say, well, you were the guy married with three priests up there. So that was exactly 35 years ago. So, that was a great moment in my life. And you mentioned the grandkids. You know, we were, like I mentioned before, we're very blessed to have them all right here in town with us. So, about a month ago, we celebrated a double baptism.
And, so cool.
We had two of the kids had just been born, and it was a beautiful ceremony. We belong to a really beautiful church here in town, and so to have all the kids and you know, the other brothers and sisters served as the godparents. So we had everybody there, and it was just, you know, terrific. And whoever invented grandchildren certainly knew what they were doing, because it is nothing but a pure joy, and none of the, you know, the challenges that you have as a parent, they just disappear and become a grandparent.
So you and your wife have four children, and you mentioned the double baptism, but how many grandchildren total do you have?
So now we have three, so it's growing. So like I mentioned, football keeps me pretty busy, and yet, you know, when you work in a industry that is so entertaining. I mean, coming to watch LSU play football is a fun activity, and so all of our kids are very involved with what I'm doing, and luckily we're able to be here and be involved with what they're doing.
Fantastic, fantastic. And folks, don't overlook Terry having said 35 years of marriage. Congratulations. That's outstanding. And Terry, it's been so great to have you on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family, and thanks for making time to be on the show.
Bruce, thank you so much. I enjoyed it very much. And I would like to mention one thing that, you know, throughout my journey, there have been times when I was very, very much involved with the Catholic Church, and there were times when I was not. And yet, I've always told my kids that, you know, the one constant that I've had, no matter where I've gone and what I've been able to do, is that the Catholic Church has been there for me, even though there were times when I may not have been there for the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has been there in my life as a constant through all these years, and that is, you know, extremely satisfying and comforting to know.
Beautifully said, beautifully said. And folks, as a nod to all the years that Terry has spent in the coaching profession, I thought we would close this week's episode with one of the prayers for coaches, and of course we'll do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Joshua 24, "As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Lord, I desire to serve you. Help me to make the right choices and encourage my players to do the same. Give me strength to act with integrity even when others choose not to. Allow me to stand firm in my decisions and rest in the peace and love that only you can provide. Amen."
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.